Hello and welcome back to the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. I am your Blasphemous Pope Harry, and this is Sermon 72, If You Build It. Today's sermon really focuses around community styles and how we approach the non-idyllic versions of building communities. If you watch movies about this type of stuff, it's always, you know, a group of people have decided to move and they're ready, willing, and able to move on a moment's notice before even the location is chosen. And that's very rarely the case. More often the case, you will find that it's people are building it and then others just come, you know? So we're going to talk about different styles of community, not only just physical community or living in the same property community, but there's various types of community. I'm going to talk about each of them a little bit today. On top of that, we are going to be talking about the non-idyllic conditions of communities, especially when you're dealing with sustainability, especially when you're dealing with off-grid or self-sufficiency. These types of things lend to a very non-utopic versions of communities that you are not going to really be able to see or understand through various medias. 9 times out of 10, if they are not idyllic, they are disastrous and tyrannical, and that isn't how it has to be, and that isn't usually how it will go, especially if you are dealing with people who understand that everybody is as important as everybody else and making sure that the community continues. So when we come back, we're going to get started with Sermon 72, If You Build It. If you wish to get a hold of me, the Blasphemous Pope, there are plenty of ways. First and foremost, here on Spotify and on Spotify for podcasters, there will be always a question on the podcast itself. You can type in a little answer, and that's one way that which we can interact. As well as there is a messaging feature where you can leave a voice message. Little warning, those messages become able to be used in a podcast. If you wish for it not to be used in a podcast, please tell me beforehand so that this way I am not doing something against your wishes. I'm going to try to abide by other people's wishes. The social media links on Spotify and the Spotify for Podcasters website are directly to me. You can contact me that way, add me as a friend, follow me, what have you. If you wish to have a little more interaction with the community in total, there is a Facebook group where we do have a growing community, as well as the Discord, which has got a link at the bottom of the description. A little note on the Discord. As far as the Discord is concerned, that is where I'm going to be doing the live streaming from. So if you wish to take part in the live streaming, either by voice or by text chat, or just to sit there and listen as I do it live, you can do that on the Discord. So I do encourage you to join the Discord, of course. If we are trying to make a decision on something, I generally try to throw the decision out to my acolytes to vote on. And if you want to get a part of that action, that's done through the Facebook group. Thank you for listening, and now back to the show. And welcome back to the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. Sermon 72, If You Build It. Now, I understand that most people, they have this idyllic idea of how a community is going to come together and everyone's going to be happy, go lucky, and everything's going to work out great. And that's generally not how communities start. How communities start, especially if we are talking about a community that is self-sufficient and sustainable and completely off the grid and nobody's really owning the property so that they can't basically just fence everything that they own off and tell everyone to fuck off and hook that, you know. So when we're talking about community as an entity, there's a single owned piece of property. Everybody lives on it, grows their food on it, procures power on it, what have you. This is something of a full-time residence, okay? And what I mean by that is that everybody is dependent on the community in order to survive. There's no breakaway. Can some people get jobs outside of the community? Absolutely. That's something that happens in a few communities that I know of that exist. That influx of cash allows them to buy certain things that that make them comfortable, that bring them joy. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. The whole idea of having a community is to make it so that survival is not a 24-hour a day job for everybody. The ideal situation is you have a community large enough that everyone only has to pitch in maybe 8 hours a week, maybe less, to make sure that the community runs, that everyone is fed, that everyone has power, and all of that good stuff. Now, one of the features of a community as a single plot of land that is all owned in common, we'll call it that, is that there are areas that are community areas and there are areas that are private areas. And usually this is designated as the home is a private area and everything else is a community area. And these generally work out really well. A lot of the community area gets soaked up in the resources needed for the community to survive, but it also gives the opportunity for the community to earn money by hosting workshops, by hosting educational events and what have you, that will bring people in, show them the way of life that everybody has. You can explain why you feel this is superior to the dog-eat-dog world that they live in. You can show them how to produce your own food on the large scale, on the small scale, on their power on the large scale, small scale, and what it's reasonable to expect if they were to go and break off from society on their own with their people and build their own community. This doesn't necessarily mean you can't potentially recruit people from the outside into your community, but that's not necessarily the goal. You don't necessarily need to flood your community with as many people as humanly possible, and that needs to be said. Moving along, we have the next level of community. Now, this is the level of community that is easily attainable if you live in suburbia. And I know people are going to turn their nose up at me, but if you are living in suburbia and you are looking to break away from society with everybody that lives around you, and this is like you are going to have to be really close with all of your neighbors, in common, purchasing a chunk of property in the center of your community or in a central location to your community, you all have your individual pieces of property where you live, and then there's the central one where you do the community stuff. And generally that's, you know, the community farm, the community power plant, you know, meaning like the solar power, if the community is not dedicated to making sure everybody has their own solar or their own wind procurement. And this is also a place where you can do workshops and education and turn people to your way of life. You see, this is the whole thing. If they see people that they know that they can relate to, then they might actually change their mind. It's all well and good if someone who is worth millions of dollars decides to do something like this. Nobody down here at the bottom of the barrel like I'm at is gonna do a fucking thing if The Rock goes on TV and goes, yeah, we have a completely sustainable community. It's me and Hulk Hogan and Jimmy Kimmel, and, you know, and goes through a list of people who are all worth hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, if not tens of millions of dollars or billions of dollars, like fucking Oprah Winfrey, and builds a community because, well, they have the finances to set the whole thing up, to employ people to set the whole thing up for them, and then they just move in and live. It's a little bit different when it's everybody here is down on the fucking bottom with you, and we're all, you know, rubbing pennies together, hoping to make another one, you know? When we come back, we will we'll talk about a little bit more different types of communities, and yeah, there's that. Welcome back. Okay, so we talked about a community as an entity, as a single location. Everyone who lives there is working on building that community, and that community is a single solitary location. Everyone that is owned in common and or owned by one, but is custodian by the community itself, and that is great. You know, that's the idyllic option there. You know, then I talked about how, like, a suburbia type model where everyone kind of lives in the same area and there's a central location, generally speaking, sort of like a suburban neighborhood, and then they have a central community center that's owned in common. Now I'm going to talk about another type of community, and then I'm going to talk about a community where nobody lives anywhere. Okay, so the other type of community is as a location, as well as the suburbia one is as a location, but this one, it's a little bit different. This one is people are a little bit further apart, that it is not a permanent residence for anyone, or if it is a permanent residence for anyone, it's only a permanent residence for one of the members of the community, or two of the members of the community, and the rest of the community comes throughout the year to reestablish their community bond with the particular piece of land and community. This, what I mean by partial residence is they live elsewhere and then they come and do work, right, and participate in the community for a while, and then they go back, meaning that they are halfway living in contemporary society and halfway living in the community. This is one of the least ideal versions of a physical community. It's not ideal because when you need people, they may not be there. They may be busy doing whatever else they're doing that constitutes the rest of their lives when they're not living in the community. It does open some doors in the idea that you can run workshops a little bit more efficiently if the community is not full of people. You can do education a little bit more one-on-one if the community is not full of people all the time. And the other thing is, there is a potential with the internet and internet hotel booking that you could Airbnb accommodations in that community to give that financial support that you need to pay the taxes and what have you. Now, again, this is not the ideal situation, and this is generally going to be filled with people who may not be on the same mission with you. They may just do this because they believe that the project should happen, but they don't want to actually be part of that project, and that's their choice. I don't value judgment anybody's choice, but it's not an optimal situation for anybody involved at all. So with that being said, I want to make sure everybody understands that that's the three levels of, like, a physical community where everyone's all in, everyone has their own but they're all in, and then nobody's all in, or maybe one person's all in and everybody else is just there when they feel like being there. Okay. Now, the other version of a community is a non-physical one, and this is something that has started rather recently. It's basically the new version of a society. Like I used to belong to a lot of societies when I was younger, because this was before the internet existed, where we would communicate by mail, like the post office, and we'd get community letters, and we would enter into discussions that way, because that's the only way we could communicate. I mean, we could have called, but calling was very expensive, just in case you were wondering. Up until, you know, the 90s, you couldn't just call everybody. You actually had to pay for anything outside of your immediate area, you know? Like, now I can call pretty much almost around the fucking entire globe for free, or for the nominal fee of how much my services. There's internet services that I can use that I can communicate with people everywhere on the globe, you know? So this is like a new day in community. This is a community that doesn't really have a physical place. There absolutely is, you know, forum and chat room potential for building communities. And a lot of people who are quote unquote influencers, that's what they do. That's exactly how they do that. The difference between what I'm talking about and what they do is they're building a cult of personality around themselves, and I'm talking about building a community that serves as many people as possible. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because even though it's not physical, it is a source of education. There is the option to video conference educational content. So even if you're living in vastly different parts of the world, you can still communicate, you can still educate, you can still get people on the path to helping themselves rather than asking for help from society, because it's painfully obvious that there is something very wrong with society. When we come back, we are going to talk about how non-utopic this all really is. I want to give a special thank you to all of my acolytes, that is you, the listeners, as well as the listeners who have been with me since the beginning. These people, since before monetization, since episode one, and since before episode one, have been friends and supporters of everything that I do, so I want to make sure I give them a special shout out. There is a space at the end of this list for listener supporters. Listener supporters are people who financially support this podcast, this production, and for as little as 99 cents a month, you can become a listener supporter. I would greatly appreciate that. To begin, we have Anarchic Radio, run by Donna Van Meter, Amy Lynn Russell, and Moose Girl. The link for that is down in the description, as well as the link for all of these projects. Extremist Being Awesome, run by Star O'Hara. This is a motivation and accountability group. The Master of the Dark Arts of Marketing, Mr. Nathan Frazier. You can learn about the esoteric and not so esoteric arts of marketing through his content. The Salted Sicilian. This is a close personal friend of mine, Christy Caruana's food blog. She is a Culinary Institute of America graduate. A Wild Little Podcast. This is a fellow podcaster here on Spotify for Podcasters. We did a lot of promoting each other early on, and I'm continuing that tradition. I have no idea what she's doing. Other supporters that have been here since the beginning, over on Twitter, we have We Trade Free, Miss Kennedy Edwards, London Gardens, and over on Instagram, we have Mr. Michael Brandon Witt. Again, if you wish to become a listener supporter, it's as low as 99 cents a month, and you will be added to this. If you have a project, I absolutely will bark that project for you. I go over that stuff in an email between us, and then we can continue our relationship. Now back to the podcast. And welcome back again. Special thanks to the Acolytes. That's all of you guys, listeners, people who have been supporting me from the beginning. And when I do get them, listener supporters, I greatly appreciate each and every single one of you. So don't think I don't appreciate you. I'm not leaving you out. You are all the Acolytes of the Blasphemous Pope Cathedral. So this is not utopic. It's never going to be utopic. The whole idea of, oh, you're just trying to build a utopia and utopias never work. Yeah, I understand that. I am a realist. I understand that utopias never fucking work. I get that. I'm not selling utopia. I'm selling a lot of hard work that in the end will pay off to something great. That's what I'm selling. All right, that's what I'm telling you. That's what you should be selling other people when, if you wish to build a community around yourself. It's not going to be perfect. There's always going to be people who don't get along 100%. That's just human nature. That's part of the deal of being human. The idea isn't to have utopia. It's to have something that is a step better, that serves the community better than society in general. And I think if you take a really long look at fucking society and the shit show that it is, it isn't a big step to take to have anything better for a small community of people. So I want to make sure that everybody understands there are shit jobs that have to get done, and they have to get done. And as a community, it makes it a little bit better that not one person is stuck doing the shit job, that maybe they can team up on the shit job, or maybe they can rotate the responsibility of the shit jobs, you know, so that this way it's not somebody, oh, well, my job is the shittiest job in this place and everybody else gets to, you know, play with flowers and wash things and I've got to shovel shit all day and nobody else has to do that. Well, you know, we can, as a community, we can come around a way to make it so that maybe it's better for the person who has to do that shit job. You know, in contemporary society, we offer hazard pay to people who do dangerous jobs or do jobs that nobody wants to do. And in this, we can compensate the same way. You know, the person who's doing that doesn't have to do it all the time. And it can be rotated around. That responsibility can be rotated around. For example, I mean, there's a lot to cover there, but it's not something that needs to be covered in this stage of just discussion, right? So the idea here is that life is work. Being alive is work. And the whole perk of having a society is that you don't have to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in order to be able to survive. As we see in the failing Western civilization here in America, that is becoming a fallacy. The cost of living for everybody is going up, and the amount of leisure time anyone has declined drastically since, oh, I don't know, like the 90s. I want to say it's been since then that it's been a real serious problem. It probably started earlier, but it's been a serious problem where you can't survive on one job as a family. Like probably 80s, but definitely by the 90s. The whole idea here is if you have a community, you have more hands in the pot in the things that make life sustainable, right? That make life self-sufficient. Everyone just needs to do their best. You know, we all understand that everyone has different abilities. Not everybody's the same. Not everybody's equally interchangeable out with everybody else. Hell, people aren't the same person they are the day before. So we do have to understand, with realistic goals and everyone doing their best and as many people's hands in the pot as there are in the community, that we can get back to the point where the human doesn't have to work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in order to survive, or 16 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week in order to survive. That the work might be a little bit more physical, but it is society proof, to say the least. The downgrade of society will have no effect on the community if the community has successfully separated completely from society. And with this, there is the possibility of growing towards comfort. You will start in a survival type situation. You know, you're not going to start with a fully functioning farm, a fully functioning power system, a fully functioning water system. These are things that are going to have to be built, and they're going to have to be troubleshot throughout time, and they're going to have to be maintained and all of that stuff. And that stuff takes work. But when you get past that survival, when you get to that threshold where you're producing more than you exactly need to survive, is when you start getting towards prosperity. And there's a guy who he has a small farm. I think it's like on a quarter acre of a land, and he makes $1,000 a week running his extra vegetables to a farmer's market. And that's a possibility. I mean, if you do live close enough to society that you can integrate into their market the extra produce that you produce, there's an option right there. And when you get to that point of prosperity, you start getting out of individual needs and getting into community amenities. And what that means is that things that are not necessarily survival dependent can be acquired for the community, whether it be comfort items for individuals, whether it be upgrades to systems that the community uses to produce, you know, all of that type of stuff becomes a possibility. And the main thing is you have to get your priorities in check, you know, and with that, it's the same with any type of task. If you are not prioritizing your life and livelihood, or the life of your community and livelihood of the people around you, your community is going to fail. Now, you absolutely do need to make sure there's time for yourself. You can't give 1,000% of yourself and expect everyone else to give 10%. But the whole fact of the matter is you're all doing this for each other, and that has to be part of that mission that you guys are all on together. Whether you are a doomer that thinks that the world is going to end and this is the only way you guys are going to survive, or you're looking for a way out of society because you feel that society is no longer serving you, or you are looking to do something a better way because you feel that the society in general is going down a path of destruction that is harmful to the world around you, and you want to spread the world of a sustainable community, and you want to do all the hippy-dippy Greenpeace fucking shit, it doesn't matter. As long as you guys are on the same mission, you guys are going to prioritize yourselves, you know, each other, over anything else. And in that, everyone gets to have the amenities that they want, the needs met, they get to have prosperity. And with that, I'm going to say thank you to everyone for coming and listening to me. I greatly appreciate this. I hope we can do this again next week.